May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 918. Blessed are the poor in spirit, who their native vileness see. They are all taught sin's demerit, gladly own salvation free, and from Sinai to the wounds of Jesus flee. Hymn 918.
Amen. This evening I wish to read from two portions of God's holy word. Firstly, the gospel according to Mark, chapter 16, the last chapter, and we'll commence reading at verse 9. Mark chapter 16 and from verse 9. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive, and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Now let us turn to the book of Hebrews again and following on from this morning, Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man, that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honour, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succour them that are tempted. The Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word and help us in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, thou who art the same yesterday and today and forever, Lord, we read that thou art to be greatly feared in the assembly of the saints, to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. And we see, Lord, that thou solemnize our hearts and our minds, that we might come before thee, the true and the living God, that we might put off the shoes from off our feet in that spiritual way, realizing the place whereon we stand is holy ground. Lord, even in this chapel, Lord, in this ground, in this place, there have been thy eternally chosen people, thy people whom thou hast redeemed and borne their sins on Calvary, and they have been born again here, quickened into life here. Lord, thy people have received thy word here, and Lord, there have been many that have heard their last sermon here, have been anointed for the burial, as it were, here. And, O Lord, we count it to be that holy ground where thy people meet, where the ordinances of thy house are observed, and where the word is preached, and where souls are plucked from nature's darkness and brought to be into thy marvellous light. And we seek, Lord, this blessing this day. O Lord, do bless the people gathered at this time. Bless the congregation that statedly worship here. Bless the friends that have turned in as visitors to meet with them this evening. And O Lord, do be with the congregation, both the children and those that are older. O Lord, gather in each and do bless thy word to them. We pray for those that were here this morning and are not here this evening. Thou knowest the reasons why. And Lord, do remember any that are sick or unwell, and those that may be with the children. But do remember any who willingly absent themselves from the house of God. And O Lord, do be pleased to give them that real appetite and desire to come at every occasion when thy people gather together. And O Lord, we do seek thy blessing then here, and that thou wouldst remember those that worship elsewhere tonight. Especially I bring before thee my own flock and thy servant ministering there tonight. Do bless them. And O Lord, do favour us here with thy word graciously. O Lord, we do see that thou hast speak through thy word, and that thy word might be with power. Thou knowest the secret exercises of each soul. Thou knowest where thy people are. And O Lord, we particularly pray for those that do seek thee, those who feel the worth of their souls, those who come with prayer into thy house, desiring a blessing for their souls. Remember those who feel that they have waited long at the pool and that they desire thee and to come and to heal them and to bless them. O Lord, thou canst do in a moment what they have proved they cannot do for many, many years. And O Lord, we seek that thou hast keep thy people tender in thy fear, and that thou hast grant them to be upon praying ground and in the place where thou dost wait to be gracious. O Lord, do be pleased to then come this evening, and where thou hast already spoken to thy people, where already they have heard thy voice, those, O Lord, who may be tried and tempted whether it was really thy voice, whether it really was thy word, thy direction, whether they really should obey and walk after that word or not, be pleased to come this evening and confirm that word and do cause that they might know beyond all doubt that it was thou that didst speak to them, and thou hast made known unto them thy will and thy purpose, whether it be an individual, or whether it be a family, or whether it be this church. Do be pleased to confirm thy word to them, and settle them in thy will, and in the way that they should go. Lord, hast thou not said, I will instruct thee, and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And O Lord, we do seek that guidance in all of the way. Lord, the dear disciples said, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And thou didst say to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Lord, we seek that we might be followers of thee, that thou wouldst lead the way and go before us. And Lord, may it be in the ministry this evening that thou art going before a poor sinner here, a people here, and that thou dost make that known, that thou art in this matter. O Lord, we see that thou hast made to work for good all things that we pass through. But Lord, do grant that the signs following might answer to the work of the true and living, holy and pure God of heaven. O Lord, so save us from our sins, from the power and dominion of them. Do grant us a tender conscience and the fear of the Lord. Do grant us, Lord, to be as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold upon eternal life. O Lord, we confess our weakness, our proneness to sin, Lord, our depravity and our fallen nature, our iniquities, our many faults, and we would confess them before thee. We seek, Lord, that thou leavest not to be given up, but, Lord, that thou grant unto us to be kept, kept by the power of God unto salvation. And, O Lord, leave us not, and deal with us not as our sins have deserved. O Lord, have mercy upon us, and do bring us back from the pit, and leave us not to be even like the ungodly, but do grant us, Lord, to be of that same faith and followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. O Lord, we do pray for thy blessing upon this locality. We pray for the people of Swavesey. Lord, many we have seen in the earlier part of the day, giving thy day to pleasure, and we are mindful that many do not know any better. And, O Lord, we do pray that the light of thy truth might go forth into this town, and that there be those that come and hear the word of God here. O Lord, make this candlestick to give light on all round about, that there be none that rise up at the last day in the town of Swavesey and say, you never warned us, you were in our midst, and yet we never knew of the gospel, we never heard it from you. O Lord, we do seek of thee that we might not be as light that is under a bushel or as salt that has lost its savour, but that thou art both here and with us at Cranbrook and round each hill of Zion, as those little witnesses to the truth sprinkled through this land, that there might be that effect where thou hast placed us. O Lord, do grant that in our lives we might show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of nature's darkness and into thy marvellous light. O keep us from bringing a reproach upon thy name and cause. Save us from Satan's snares and traps. Save us from our own spirit, from words unbecoming those who know and fear the Lord. And Lord, we do seek thy blessing upon this land. Lord, we are to pray for our rulers and those in authority over us. We bring before thee our Queen, the royal household. We pray thy protection over them, thy grace to be given them, and that thou hast give wisdom to those who are in authority, that we might live quiet and godly lives in the fear of the Lord. We thank thee for the liberties and blessings that we have at this time. Remember those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for the stand that they take, for the beliefs that they practice, and Lord, do appear for and do help them. Again, we pray for our churches in other lands. We seek thy blessing to be upon them. And we thank thee where thou hast given help and others to go and minister and strengthen the hands of thy servants in those places. O Lord, do help us now. We pray for thy gracious help and light upon thy word. Do grant us that help to speak and to speak according to thy word. But, O Lord, do thou apply the word and get to thyself honour and glory in the salvation of souls. O Lord, thou thyself hath commissioned us to go forth into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We thank thee for the empty tomb, the resurrection from the dead of our Lord Jesus Christ, the first and forerunner of all that shall rise. And, O Lord, we do thank thee for the precious blood shed on Calvary's tree. We thank thee for the ordinances of thy house that constantly remind us of what thou hast accomplished and done, what thou shalt yet do when thou dost come again. And, O Lord, we do thank thee for that Lamb of God, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, our Advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Lord, we thank thee for that new and living way that thou hast consecrated for us through the veil into the holiest of all. And we thank thee for the blood-sprinkled mercy seat and for the throne of thy grace. Thou art a good, a gracious, a long-suffering God. Pour then out thy blessings out of thy treasury. Draw sinners to thyself. Make them see the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read, but we see Jesus. And may he be precious to us, unto you which believe. He is precious. And Lord, may those who gladly receive the word of God here this evening do as those in the early church did. Then they who gladly received the word were baptized. So, Lord, bless us in these ways, we ask through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 1086. Peace, my complaining, doubting heart, ye busy cares, be still. Adore the just, the sovereign Lord, nor murmur at his will. Hymn 1086.
Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to our first reading, the Gospel according to Mark chapter 16, and the last verse, part of that verse, verse 20. Confirming the word with signs following. The whole verse reads, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Really, our text is a summary of the fulfilling of the commission that the Lord gave in verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so our text says, and they went forth and preached everywhere. Now, we had this morning the desire that the Lord be not silent, but speak to his people. And here we have a word, that word that is given is confirmed, confirming the word with signs following. The Lord does give his word, he does speak his word, but he also confirms that word. And we're used to this in natural ways in our lives, aren't we? We make engagements for the next year. Then through letters, those engagements are confirmed. When it comes nearer to the time that we are to come, then we get a phone call and that's confirmed again. And we look for those confirmations. And if we haven't got it, then we start to be a bit concerned. Look up the gospel standard or look up our engagement list and see whether there's been a mistake. A couple of weeks back, I nearly turned up at Colnbrook a week before I should have, not realising we'd verbally changed it to another week. But when I didn't get my phone call, that was my alarm bells, then I checked the standard and then I checked my correspondence, and I realised why it hadn't been confirmed. But we do look for that, natural things in life, and how much more so when we have the Word of God and we want to know that it is the Word of God and not man's Word and not an imagination, but really does come from the Lord. It's not wrong to ask the Lord to confirm his word. This is right at the beginning of the proclamation of the gospel, of setting it forth, and this is what the Lord set forth, that he would confirm the word. And we are told in verse 17, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if any drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And so we are to expect that there to be a confirmation of the word going forth. Now, one thing that is very evident to someone reading this passage and being able to compare with the other Gospels is that this is very much a summary. When we think of from, say, verse 14 through to the end of the chapter, we are covering 50 days at least, because we have appearing of the 11, that's when the Lord rose from the dead. And then we have the 40 days that he showed himself to the disciples. Then he was taken up into heaven. Then 10 days later we have the day of Pentecost, and they weren't to go forth and preach everywhere until They were endued with power from on high, and then after that they went forth and preached everywhere. So what we have is, in just a few verses, a great summary. And this happens quite often in the Word of God. And it's sometimes it's very helpful. Instead of looking at minute particulars, we get an overview, and that is what we have here. Some of the other Gospels, we got much more particulars, and the same in the Acts. But there's a lot to be filled in. And we're to remember this in the Word of God, because when we walk out our experience and in our lives, we're not walking out a summary. You're walking out minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, and a lot is happening. And so remember that when you come to the Scriptures. Often one or two chapters is spanning years and years. And don't fall into the trap of comparing, as it were, what you're happening in one or two days with what is described as being happening in a few years. The Lord warned this: judge nothing before the time. Your time is always ready, my time is not yet. And we're to wait upon the Lord. So we have the summary that is here. And what I then want to really set before you is the particular manner of confirming the word here. Now, sometimes the word of God is confirmed by another word. It is spoken twice. We think of the case we mentioned, Samuel, this morning. And when the word was first given through Samuel, the word that he spoke to Eli was not the first time Eli had heard it. A prophet had already warned him about his sons and his household and the way they were behaving. And Samuel's word, though to him the first word, and he trembled to tell it to Eli, was actually confirming what another prophet had already spoken. And so sometimes the confirmation is in another word. The word is spoken once and then it's spoken again, maybe spoken by one of the Lord's servants coming to you here, and another one comes and he doesn't know what the other one has preached from or how he's spoken or how the Lord has used the word, and he confirms that word. Nothing new is told, but the word that has been given before is confirmed. And that is very needful. And we think of how the Lord does it with the law of God. We have in Exodus the law of God. We have it in Deuteronomy again, the law of God, twice is told us. When we come to the Gospels, then we have four Gospels. Two of them, they describe the birth of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Four of them, they set forth his death and his sufferings. So the Lord is bringing the word, not just once, but confirming it again and again. And where it is more important, more emphasized. Yes, the law is important. Yes, the birth of the Lord is important. But his death, his sufferings, his sacrifice, that is four times more important. And so that is really emphasized, and the more something is important to us, we'll want it really confirmed and strengthened that this truly is of the Lord. And so the Lord is pleased to do this for his people. He is honored really in this way. In some ways, there is a need of carefulness that we do not go too far. And the one I have in mind in this case is Moses. Because the Lord spoke to Moses and he told Moses to go to his people in Egypt and that he would bring them out of Egypt. And Moses was given signs. Signs to confirm that the word was actually from the Lord. Moses said, he said, "How shall the people know? What is his name? I am that I am has sent you." If they don't believe, if they don't hear the one sign, then give another. He used to put his hand into his bosom, he pulled it out and it was leprous. He put it in again and it was as it was before. He cast down his rod upon the ground and it became a serpent, and he took it by the tail and it became a rod again. He was given those signs. He was told what to do when he came into Egypt, and he performed those signs, and the people believed the word that was spoken. They believed Moses. But before that happened, Moses had so many arguments with the Lord. "Send by whomsoever thou wilt, but not me. I am not eloquent. I cannot speak." And you know, in the end, the Lord was angry with him, because he kept on making objections. And he says, "I know Aaron thy brother can speak well, and he cometh to meet thee." There was another sign, another confirmation that Aaron had been told separately from the Lord, and he was to come and to meet Moses, which happened. And so we may rightly ask for signs, and the Lord willingly give them. But if we go so far like Moses to resist and to resist, then that angered the Lord. And we don't want to be like that. So yes, seek to be sure from the Lord. But know when the Lord has truly given the word and confirmed it, and then know what to do. We think of course, the case of Gideon. And how that Gideon, again, a mighty deed that he was to have to do to lead the children of Israel and go against the Midianites. And the Lord then said to him, "If thou fear to go down, go and listen to what they say, go down into the host." And he heard the telling of the dream. And when he heard the telling of the dream of a cake of barley bread falling into the camp and smiting a tent, laying it over, and the interpretation was that this was Gideon, the son of Joash, by whom the Lord shall deliver the Midianites into the hand of Israel, then Gideon arose and he was so strengthened. He said, "Up, for the Lord hath given the victory into our hands." And that sign that was given had such a profound effect upon him. And the Lord had given, of course, before with Gideon, the fleece wet, the fleece dry. He'd given those signs. Gideon had asked for these signs. We must be careful what we do in asking, but we are told here that the Lord will confirm the word with signs following. Now I want to look this evening at three ways in which the Lord will confirm the word and what is actually bound up here, meant here. The first way is confirming the word of the scriptures, actually what the scriptures are. And then secondly, it's confirming the word as the work of grace in a sinner's heart, the new birth, what is actually done in a sinner's heart by the Lord speaking to that person. And then lastly, it is confirming the word of direction, when the Lord directs his people what to do, that he will confirm that. And we're thinking specifically here, not so much confirming it with another word, but with the signs following. The Lord may confirm and does often confirm it with another word from himself, but also with signs following. So I want to think first then with the case of the scriptures. Now we think of the time that this word was set forth, this gospel was not written. None of the gospels were written. None of Paul's letters were written. They just had the Old Testament. The apostles, they went forth and preached everywhere. They weren't preaching from Acts or from Hebrews or anything like that. They were preaching as witnesses of what they had heard and seen of the Lord Jesus Christ, what they knew themselves of the gospel, what they had experienced of the power of it, and that they had seen the Lord crucified, seen the Lord when he had risen from the dead, and heard the Lord when he commissioned them here. And as they then went forth and as they preached, then the word had an effect. These people, these apostles, these that were sending forth the word, how did people know that they were really witnesses of Christ? How did they really know that they had the authority from heaven? That the word that they were speaking was God's word and not their own word? By the very word that is here. The Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. That's why he said, tarry at Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. The people need to know that this is the word of God. Now the Lord had told the disciples when they saw his miracles, he said that greater miracles shall ye do because I go to the Father. And so in the ministry of our Lord in his lifetime, he worked the miracles. He said, they testify of me. The works that I do, the Father doeth them, and they bear witness of me. Well, those same miracles then bore witness that the disciples as well were speaking the word of God. When they cured the sick, when they healed those that were lame, they always ascribed it unto the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, don't look upon us as if there's any might or power in us. But this is done by the Lord Jesus Christ, whom ye crucified and whom ye slain. And the people, they could not but have recognized that these same miracles that Jesus did, whom they had said was an impostor and crucified and slain, are now being done by his disciples. And they are proclaiming what the Lord Jesus told them to proclaim in the gospel of the grace of God, and that there is forgiveness and pardon in none other but in the Lord Jesus Christ. And each time they performed the miracles, then it gave them the opportunity to set forth the gospel more clearly and more firmly. And of course, these signs that are here, you think of the life of the Apostle Paul when he got shipwrecked upon the island Melita, then they had a fire, a viper came out of the flame and bit his hand. And they looked, saw whether he dropped down dead, but when he didn't, then they thought that he was a god. And we see that sign there, they shall take up serpents. That's the Apostle Paul did that. And then in that same island, there was one that was sick of a fever. Paul laid his hands on him and cured him. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In the earlier part, we read of Paul with the woman with the spirit that followed the disciples. It was in Philippi. These men proclaimed the name of the Lord and troubled them by what she was saying. And they rebuked the spirit. Paul rebuked the spirit and it left her. And so we have those records of them dealing with devils and dealing with those evil spirits, casting them out, and those very signs that are set forth here by the Lord were done by the apostle. The apostle Paul spoke when he wrote to the Romans. He says that the signs of an apostle were done among you. And these are the signs that were said to follow, that authenticated the word that was spoken. The Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. So then these same ones that worked these things, the Acts of the Apostles are recording what they did, becoming the Word of God. We have the Gospels that were then written by them. We have the letters that Paul wrote. Not all of the letters that Paul wrote are part of the inspired Word of God. There are many other writings. How do we know what is the inspired Word of God? By this same way. The Lord confirming the word with signs following. The early church, the first 300, 400 years of the church, is when the inspired word of God was really settled and accepted by the church. They knew what was the word that God would bless. What had the witness of the Spirit, the savour of Christ upon it. There's a very different feel. If you read some of the apocrypha books, it's got a very different feel than to the inspired word of God. Now, we believe the Lord gave the word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is God-breathed from Genesis to Revelation. But in the early church, the Lord had to show to the church and to his people what was the word of God. What of the writings of that early church was his word and was to be preserved by his divine providence to the end of the world? And that is confirming the word with signs following. The word of God was that which came from the apostles. The word of God was that which was blessed by the Spirit and owned of God to the conversion of sinners, for the feeding of the church of God, the strengthening of the church of God. And so it came that the word was established in the church. The Roman Catholic Church will say, we are the church. We are the ones that will tell you what is the word of God. But that is not so. The Lord himself has told us what the word is, because he confirms it with those signs following. And the godly and the people of God, they recognize it and know it so. And it is in that way that the word of God is confirmed. When we think of the creation, as we begin in the word of God, the Lord spake and it was done. We have the word there, and the signs that were following was that there was then the creation. That followed the word. So if that is so in a natural sense with the creation, how much more when it comes to the much greater work of salvation, that when the Lord speaks in the gospel, then it is done. Paul's commission was to bring men from darkness to light, from idols and to the living God. And it was through the preaching of the gospel. And so where the word of the Lord is, then that effect will happen. If Paul's word was just man's word, if it was not confirmed from heaven, no man would be brought out of nature's darkness. Only the Lord Jesus Christ is able to do that. Only the power of heaven is able to bless the word that is preached, because it comes from the Lord. What authority would someone have if they went to another country and said, I'm an ambassador of England? And they said, no, you're not. We never gave you authority. What you've just been speaking, that's not being done in our parliament. There's no authority for what you're saying at all. It's not owned by us. So when the Lord's servants come forth and they preach the word, as we are commissioned to do, preach the word, that must be owned by the Lord. It is my word. I will bless that word. I have blessed that word. And we think of the signs following, and we look at that more in the conversion of souls. But the doctrine of Scripture, especially today, it's been so undermined, is so important that we believe that every word of God is pure, and that from Genesis to Revelation, it all is the inspired word of God. Not some of it man's word, some of it Paul and some of it Peter. No, all is God's word. The doctrine of inspiration, the breathed word of God, is vital for us. And the other doctrine is the doctrine of the preservation of the word of God. Through the ages, the Lord keeping it pure and preserved, and through translations also. And we need to be careful to make sure we use a translation that does actually tell us and give a faithful witness of what the original is. I often say to the children at school, if you had someone in your class that could speak a different language, and then you had a visitor come with that language, you'd want that child to tell you exactly what the visitor was saying, not just what they thought they were saying, or not just put their interpretation on it. You'd want to know exactly. And so we need to know exactly what the Lord has said. And so we need a faithful translation. We believe we have it in the English language, in the Authorized Version. But we need to hold that very fast, because the blessing of our souls hangs upon the word of God. And so when we have here confirming the word with signs following, we must read into this that the scriptures themselves are confirmed from heaven. The signs following it in the blessing of souls, the signs following those that wrote the scriptures, that were used by God to speak what he breathed to them, is confirmed from heaven, settled from heaven. And we may receive this as the inspired word of God. The psalmist says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." That is this word. And in our own tongue, we're not hiding some strange word in our heart. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." That's this word. We must be sure then that the Lord confirms that word to us, that what we are trusting in and looking to is truly the word of God. Confirming the word with signs following. With a second way I want to consider this is confirming the word as the new birth, the work of God in a sinner's heart. We're not to be of those that think, well, all you've got to do for conversion is to just read the word of God and just give an assent to it. Over in Australia, we had a church we went to. We used to hold the TBS meetings, actually, in local ones in the vestry there. But I noticed a booklet, and I looked at it, and I thought it was a Chinese church. And I read it, and I thought, how strange. It was a little booklet, and you had to read through it, and at the end of it, who had a sign that you could accept the Lord Jesus Christ and that you could believe, and that is supposedly savingly. And if you couldn't, then you had to start at the beginning of the book and read it again, because you obviously hadn't grasped it well enough. And that was all of the power of God that they were suggesting is needed. That would never get a soul to heaven. It must be the witness from heaven. And so when the word is preached and when the word is set forth, the Lord will use that word. We spoke this morning about the Word of God, the Lord not being silent to us, but speaking to us through the Word. But here it is spoken of confirming the Word with signs following. Now, some people will say, oh, we've got a word for this and a word for that, and they always seem to have a word, and sometimes it's spoken in a very glib way. But when the Lord speaks his word, there is an authority and there is a gravity to it, an importance to it, that we cannot just speak in a light, in trifling way of the word. One has said regarding especially the preaching of the word, it is only as good as the good that it does, the effect that it has. And that is what is spoken of here, confirming the word with signs following. When Peter preached at Pentecost, and remember the Lord gave the sign there with the flames of fire sitting upon them, and also the speaking in other tongues, in other languages that were not gibberish, but clearly understood by people of different nations there at that time. And that was vital for the spread of the gospel. They needed to be able to speak in different languages throughout the lands. But when Peter charged upon them the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said that he who was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands crucified and slain, they were pricked in their hearts. Was that Peter? These people had seen the Lord. They'd heard his preaching. They'd heard him on the cross. They'd seen, and yet they had turned a deaf ear and crucified him. But now under the power of the Spirit, and now under Peter's preaching and declaring who this Jesus was, they were pricked in their hearts. They fell under it. What shall we do? What shall we do? We read it in the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 2, how the effect was. Turn to it. And they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and unto your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then we read this, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. 3,000. You don't read of that many converts when our Lord was in his ministry. You read of thousands that followed him for the loaves of the fishes, and the Lord reproved them when they came on the other side of the lake, and he said, ye follow me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Many will follow the Lord just because of what they get out of him. If he protects them, gives them a good job, health and strength and a nice happy life, then they'll have a good religion. They'll follow a God like that. But when they have tribulation and trouble, then they will leave the Lord. This is the parable of the sower, isn't it? Where the word is given on stony ground, Satan takes it straight away. But then if it is in ground with shallowness of earth, springs up very quickly. But then the Lord says, when persecution arises because of the word, then they're offended, and then they walk and go no more with the Lord. Or perhaps it is amongst the thorns and the cares of this life, choke the word, it become unfruitful. But that which is in good ground, what happens? Something follows. The Lord gives that germination and it goes forth and bears fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. From me is thy fruit found. Without me ye can do nothing, our Lord said. The bearing of fruit from the word of God comes from the Lord, not from you, not from me, not from my own wicked, evil heart, not from the minister. How often we find in the New Testament there's the word that was preached, some believe the word spoken, some believe not. What made the difference? Not the eloquence of the preacher or anything like that. As many as were ordained unto eternal life believed. That's what made the difference, because God followed it with signs following. He used that word. It hath pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The word of God is a powerful, a quick word. We read in Ezekiel, where Ezekiel was told and in a vision to go, and he saw a valley full of dry bones. And he was asked, can these bones live? And his answer was, thou knowest. And then he was bidden to prophesy or preach before these dry bones. And those bones, they came together as he preached. Bone to bone and sinew to sinew and flesh laid upon them. And they stood up, a great army that we were told there was no breath in them. And then he had to prophesy to the winds that there come breath in them, that they live. And they lived. And all of that happened as he was prophesying and as he was speaking the word over them. The word had no power on its own, but the Lord attending it did. And this is what the Lord has ordained. May we clearly see the Lord's will and plan of salvation is that through the preaching of the word, he will work salvation in sinners' hearts. He will form a people for their praise. He will change men and women and bring them out of nature's darkness. He will bring them to know the truth and to believe in him. In John chapter 8, we read of the Lord and those that believed on him. He turned to them and he said to them that if ye continue in my word, then ye shall be my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When the Lord passes by one and gives them life, like he did with Lazarus, I often think with Lazarus, he didn't say to Lazarus, Lazarus, come to life. I have a word to speak to you. And then ascertain, are you alive, Lazarus? Then Lazarus, come forth out of your grave. He didn't do that. That's how we would work, wouldn't he? If someone was unconscious or asleep, we'd want to make sure they're awake first, and then we'd tell them what we wanted to tell them. But our Lord, he just says, Lazarus, come forth. And the same word of direction, of command, quickened into life. And he quickened, became alive and obeyed that word and came forth just as he was. That is the power of God. And the Lord does that in a sinner's heart. Gives spiritual life. Might come into the house of God as dead as the seat you sit on. Perhaps intending, I'm not going to listen to the preacher. I'm not going to listen. But one word gets through. And the Lord brings it with power. And you hear that word. And that gives life to your soul. And from then on, you have new ears and a new heart and a new life. And you'll hear the word then and grow by that word and be instructed and taught by that word. But it's the Lord that gives life. He gives conception in a natural way. And he gives spiritual life in that same way. And he gives that growth in life. He confirms the word with signs following. I think we spoke this morning, my word shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish the thing that I please. This is what we're speaking about here, an accomplishing word. And maybe those of you here, you look at your case, you look at your sins, you look at the traps you're in, the snares you're in, the impossibilities you're in, and you think, how can I be delivered out of these things? One word from the Lord. The Lord's power attending it, and it is done. It is changed. Those in bondage, those in captivity, those held in snares are released in a moment. I've proved it. I know it. I know it so. You look at the text, you look at what word is used, and you think, what is there in that? But it is not in that. It is the power attending it. I wouldn't be here preaching to you today if the Lord hadn't have brought me out of 7 years bondage in exercise of the ministry. No way could I ever have thought to be able to go forth in the darkness I felt in my soul. And yet, in reading the portion in Ezra, that the Lord give us a little reviving in our bondage. And I stopped and I looked at that verse. A little reviving? To me it seemed I need such a great reviving, it was impossible. But a little reviving? And as if my faith could grasp hold of that. That was a hope. And as I looked at that word, then the Lord just softened my heart, and in came his word, and the snare was broken, and within a week I was before the church and began to speak in the Lord's name. That was after 13 years of exercise, but seven years of real bondage. And the Lord did it in a moment through that one verse in Ezra. And it is the power of the Lord that affects this. And so it is confirming the word with signs following. I do like to look what surrounds the word of God and what the Lord does in our lives. If you were to take the case of the Apostle Paul, and you could say to Paul, when he rehearsed what was done on the Damascus Road, well, you could say like Festus said. Paul rehearsed to him that. He said, you're mad. Thou art beside thyself. But Paul says, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak through forth the words of truth and soberness. But how could Paul really say the reality of what happened, the vision that he had, the words that he had? Well, beforehand, he was persecuting the people of God, hailing men and women to prison. His thought of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was nothing but a man and an impostor at that. But after that word from heaven, then he immediately preached that Jesus was the Christ, immediately joined with the people of God, even if it meant persecution. The difference with the Apostle Paul before and after that Damascus Road was profound. The Lord confirming the word with signs following. The Apostle Paul was a sign. Every one of God's saved people is a sign. What must those Samaritans have thought when they saw the woman that had had five husbands and then was living with a man that wasn't hers, coming in their midst and suddenly saying, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? They'd seen her just go out to the well to get water, and she comes back like this. What had happened? One conversation with the Lord. But his word had found her out, and it changed her, and was the means then of changing many of those Samaritans. They said, we now not believe because of thy word, but we have heard him ourselves, and we believe that this is the Christ that should come into the world. Every believer is a miracle of grace. And some are more conspicuous to those round about than others. But even if we've been brought up under the sound of the truth, and some of you, you might be tried, how will I ever know if the Lord works in my heart? We know you will, because he will show you first, even though you might have the outside nice and clean, he will show you what you really are inside. And then he will show you what he is and what he has suffered and what he has done. And the Lord knows exactly how to make his people to be changed people, born again, not only to be converted, but know they are converted and to know that their Redeemer liveth. The Lord knows how to do that. No, we're not like a child at school that says to the teacher, look, this is the way I want to be taught, and I want to, this way around. The teacher decides what to teach. They know and the children don't. And may we be like that with the Lord. Look unto the Lord, that he will bless us, that he will convert us, that he will do it in his way. And we think of Naaman when he comes to be healed, and he did want to be healed, but when it wasn't his way, he went away in a rage. He says, I thought. And he had a whole idea as to how, what should be done. But when it was just a word sent by a servant to go and wash and be healed, he was offended at that. But when he humbled himself under it, then it was effectual, and then it was blessed. It's easy for us to get ideas how. May we be like Martha, Mary, when Lazarus was sick. All they said, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. Not do this, do that. They left it all to love. And lay it before the Lord. Your condition and your case, and that he'd give you your word, give you his word, and you'd that he'd confirm it as his word. The Lord will always make his word bring forth fruit to his honor and to his glory, and that confirms the word. Those that appeared to the Lord, the Lord spoke of them at the last day, and they said, we have been called by thy name, thou hast taught in our streets. And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. He adds this, all ye that work iniquity. Their knowledge of the Lord had never separated them from the love of sin and the love of this world. In the Acts it speaks of the Lord being sent to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. And my wicked heart is too much for me. I can't take away the love of sinning. I can't be delivered from any temptation or sin. But the Lord is able to do it, and he has done it. And I need him to do it constantly, to come before him as a hell-deserving sinner. We read in 1 John 1, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The cleansing from all unrighteousness is his work. The forgiveness of our sins is all his work. He is exalted to give repentance and remission of sins unto Israel. It's all his work. And it's this confirming the word, the fruits, the signs following, that is vital. We don't want a name to live and yet be dead. We want a living work in our hearts, that our lives be living unto the Lord. Well, I must just pass on to the last point, which is confirming direction. Maybe there are those of you here, and the Lord has already given you direction in a matter. You already have His word, but you've come today and you want it confirmed. Lord, confirm it. Maybe the Lord has given you a confirming word, but you want it with signs following. Confirm the word with signs following. The Lord is pleased to do this. When we mentioned of Gideon, we mentioned of Moses, when they had important commission and work to do, then that direction was confirmed. And we need that. I often think of an illustration I had years ago. We used to go over Melbourne to, I think Mr. Ansbottom has a similar one in his books, but I literally had it happen to me. The ferry that goes from Melbourne to Tasmania, it's a 3-hour steaming from Melbourne to the Heads, the narrow gap into the Tasman Sea. And that is very narrow. It's only a 2-mile gap. And there are many rocks in it, and the ship actually goes through on an angle. And I'd been invited onto the bridge as we were going through this at night. And the captain was explaining to us, a small group, as to what was happening as the ship was turning to position itself to get through this narrow gap. And he said, "You see, there's a lighthouse over there, and there's a lighthouse over there. And as the ship is turning, those two lights will line up as to one, so we'll only see one. And as soon as we see that one, then we know that the ship is in the right line, straight through the rip is what they call it." And I saw that happen. And I always felt in this, there was 3 points there. There was me, where I was standing. Then there was the two lights, and they all lined up. And where the Lord would give us direction, He makes His people willing. "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." That's where I was standing. But then we have the light of the Word of God. If the way that we are to go is a right way, it will be according to the Word of God. It won't be going against the clear, express commands of Scripture, but be according to that command. Then it will also line up with providence. The Lord confirming in providence what way we are to go. Now we might think, well, as a minister, I have an exercise, that's me, to go and be a pastor of this particular church or so over here, and that is scriptural, that there be a pastor. You can't see anything wrong in the scriptures in that way. The only problem is that church never ever invites me and they haven't got the exercise at all. So how can that be a right direction at all? The Lord not working at both sides. We can think of other situations where we may be in agreement as to what to do. Providence can open it up, but the Word of God forbids it. Remember years ago we had an issue with trustees at one of the churches in Australia because the trustee says that the trustees had to be a baptised member of that church. And that church didn't have any baptised members, or had one. So how could we be? Well, the solicitors we went to, they had an easy solution. Oh, they said, all you've got to do is to make the members at Melbourne Church the members at Geelong as well. They can be members of both churches at once, and that solved it. And I said, yeah, that may solve it legally, but that's completely destroyed the type of a local church. You can't do that. And so we didn't do it. Later on, there was a way found. Gordon Seymour found a way of doing it, in a right honourable way, but Sometimes there are other things that we may think, well, this is right to do, but the scripture says no. And so there is that working together. When David is anointed king over Israel, he's anointed in the front of his brethren with Samuel. But what happens following that anointing, following that word? Suddenly he gets invited to go to King Saul to play music for him to calm him down. And then the Philistines come in the land, so David goes back to feed his sheep, and Goliath stands up against Israel. David's father sends him to see his brothers in the battle, and we know what happened with David was raised up in slaying Goliath. Saul didn't want him anymore to go to his house, so Saul brought him into the king's house. The Lord, immediately following the anointing, worked providences that were involving lots of other people to establish David in the kingdom and before the people. And you see that confirming the word with signs following. And the Lord will do that. When the Lord blesses his people, he lays them in the hearts of others of his people. John tells us a very clear sign. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. It is a sign following the blessing upon the word. And so with direction and confirming direction, we look that in providence, the word way will open up. There'll be other things that are done that actually confirm this is the way, walk ye in it. It opens up, not forced, but opens up as the Lord's way, and the Lord's showing us the way to go. And so I know I've only covered this briefly, but such an important word, confirming the word with signs following. The word of the Lord confirmed so that we truly know it is the Lord. It is his word. It is his way. I can walk it in faith. I can make the step. I can do so believing and knowing that it is the Lord's will. May the Lord bless the word and use it as he sees fit. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £725, for which we're very thankful. God willing, there'll be a church meeting tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. Mr. Sayers will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Henry Mercer next Lord's Day. And our friends at Oakington hope to hold their anniversary service on Wednesday. Let us close with hymn 796. When we pray, or when we sing, or read, or speak, or hear, or do any holy thing, be this our constant care. With a fixed and constant faith, Jesus Christ to keep in view, trusting wholly in his death, in all we ask or do. Hymn 796.
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and evermore. Amen.